Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Hi, welcome back to the show. It is the Wolf and Luke show after a crazy NFL weekend, and who better to talk to about it than Fox rules analyst Mike Pereira, the former VP of officiating in the National Football League, so he has some pretty good insight on this stuff, Wolf. He joins us on the 72 Sold Sports Line right now.
Michael.
Mike, thanks for the time. Do you remember a weekend like this in recent memory?
No. But then again, at my age, I don't remember much about yesterday. But I mean, it was beautiful because you saw all aspects of it. In Green Bay, you saw the defense rise up against really difficult conditions, and it turned out to be special teams fiascos that determined the outcome of the game. And then you go to the high-powered offense last night. It was just beautiful football and just so much fun to watch and so much fun to be a part of. I mean, despite the fact that I was – in a place where it was 0 degree chill factor, I still think that even that 49er Green Bay game was one of the most enjoyable I've seen.
There's no doubt about it, Michael. It was absolutely incredible. Let me ask you this right here. Have you ever officiated a game? Have you ever been in a game, an NFL game, where you said to yourself, oh my goodness, this game's going to go down as one of the greatest games in the history of the NFL?
Simple answer, no. My time on the field was so short. I only spent 2 years on the field, and then they moved me into the office. The only playoff game that I had was the Broncos at the Chiefs in 1997, which was a very exciting game to me, and it was a good game, but nothing compared to what we had this past weekend. There aren't many games like that, and I know as an official, you will remember those games for different reasons. It might have been the big call that you made or one that you didn't make. But people ask, do you get caught up as an official? Do you get caught up in the excitement of games like this? And the answer is you better believe you do. You know what's happening. And you also know that when it happens like that, you want to stay as far away from it as you can.
Yes.
You want the game to play itself out. And when you think of the four games this weekend, unlike last weekend, the story's really not about the officiating. It's about the rule, but it's not about the officiating. Yes, you could have called Tyreek Hill for taunting on his way into the end zone, which would have forced the Chiefs to kick off from their 20 instead of 35. Well, the Bills went down and scored anyways. But football at its finest to me is when officiating doesn't interfere, when officiating just does what it has to do, when replay keeps its nose out of the business and only gets involved when it really needs to. And you just hit that perfect scenario this weekend. I mean, if I'm Walt Anderson, who's the head of officiating now, I would have been so excited when that game ended last night, knowing that the controversy was going to come from the rule and not from what his officials did. Yeah. So, contrary to wild card weekend, I know that Walt Anderson and even me, I mean, I feel good about the officiating. And the thing is, they've got three more games, when you think about the off season from an officiating standpoint, you're remembered by what you do in the playoffs, not what you do in the regular season. That's forgotten about. So if you screw up the playoffs, then people will talk about that all off season long. But if you can get through three games, like you got through the four this weekend, then all will be reasonably well in the off season.
Talking to former VP of officiating in the NFL, Mike Pereira. Mike, that game last night, you kind of alluded to it already. Chiefs-Bills, Chiefs win in overtime. It was a 31 points after the two-minute warning, four lead changes. And a lot of people now, of course, it seems like this happens every couple of years. They look and they say, how did Josh Allen lose that game? He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't get a chance at the end because of the overtime rules. Where do you come out on the overtime rules? Do you think they will ever change?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think they'll change. Look, I mean, before we changed to go to the semi-sudden death where you needed to score a touchdown to end the game on the first possession, I mean, before that, people didn't think it was going to change. And I was part of the whole thing, you know, when they changed to make it a two-possession game if the first score was just a field goal. And it was like there was a lot of hesitancy on the point and on the part of the competition committee. Look, you know, like right now we're talking through, you know, about emotion. We're all emotionally involved with what happened, just like we were emotionally charged the Super Bowl 51 when Atlanta didn't get another opportunity, when New England went down and scored a touchdown on their first possession, and people were emotionally charged then. But when you get into March and the competition committee meets, yes, they meet in February for basically a long weekend, but it becomes less emotion and more statistical. So to take a look at all of the overtimes in the past year and what was the accuracy or what was the percentage of teams that won the game who won the toss, and they'll look to see if the advantage is deemed to be enough that they'll change it. I'm not so sure that I want to end it in the regular season, but there are changes when you get into postseason. Overtime changes, right? I mean, in the regular season, you have one 10-minute period, and then when you get into the postseason, you can't end in a tie. So therefore, you basically, as John Hussey said at the start of the overtime period last night, he said, "We're going to play another game. We're going to start another game," right. and that's what happens. And so, I'm at that emotional tipping point right now. I mean, where I say, "Yeah, okay, look at, let's guarantee each team a possession, no matter what happens in that first possession." Now, might the committee think of something like that? Possibly. I mean, there's precedent, right? Because it changes anyways in the postseason. So it's kind of difficult when you have four games that ended last night. And if you look at the articles in the, you know, on the clips and you see the whole question is about overtime and it's wrong. And from Mike Florio to Peter King, to all those people who are saying it needs to be changed. I wasn't a proponent, but now I think I've hit the tipping point of.
Oh, Michael. No, Michael, you're not going over to the dark side. No.
I know.
Listen, as a former player, I can tell you, Mike, as a former player, you got 60 minutes. You could have won the game in 60 minutes as all. All I want is a chance. There are three phases in football: offense, defense, and special teams. Hey, your defense has every opportunity to go out on the field and shut a team down. And not only
your
that,
Your defense was gassed.
Hey, you know what? As a former player, Mike, suck it up. And I'm saying that as a guy that never played in a playoff game, but still, suck it up. Here's the thing. How about this, Michael? What do you say we remove the coin toss and just give it to the home team has a home field advantage, and if this game goes to overtime, they possess the ball from the very beginning. Now, all of a sudden, as a road team, that takes the coin flip out. That takes chance away, and now you've got to play in the 60-minute game. You got to play with that knowledge in mind.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, there's going to be so many things that are put out there. The spot and choose that the Ravens, you know, proposed last year, which I thought was too funky. That's a good point. I mean, but you know, you look at. You look at the whole thing and you look, everybody says, well, you need the college. We should do the college format. No, I don't want the college format. I mean, that's too gimmicky to me. And even there starts with a coin flip. I don't know. I mean, how do you take it out? I mean, if you look at it right now, you could say, you know, the winner of the coin flip has, in my thinking, a bit of a double advantage, because if it gets into the, if it goes beyond the each team getting the opportunity, then, you know, when it comes to that third possession, they've got every opportunity. Now they need to kick it. They can just kick a field goal and win it. I don't know how you make it perfect, quite frankly. But I do think there will be maybe a lot more discussion than they've had before. And they'll get a lot more input, but, I would also say I wouldn't guarantee it's going to change, you know, because like I say, it's amazing how at the end of the season, it's emotional. And then when you get into the actual meetings where you change it, then it's far less emotional. But this has been coming for a long time, right? And people said, oh, this is not a good rule. This is before Super Bowl 51. No, well, what's going to happen in the Super Bowl is somebody's going to get the first possession and score a touchdown, and then that other team's not going to get a chance, and the world's going to come to an end. Well, it didn't come to an end after Super Bowl 51. And while I think there'll be greater discussion, I'm not at all going to be shocked if it doesn't change, period. Yeah. But I get what you're saying. But
take,
you know,
the chance out of it, Michael.
Like a,
but let me
I
say
like
this:
perfect world, you know.
Yeah,
somehow,
I'm sorry, big guy. We got to go, but I want to ask you this, Michael: will you come back this offseason and talk to us, Lord willing, about some of the rule changes that are actually going to happen at some point?
Haven't I told you before? And I'll say it again: anytime you want me, you guys can have me.
That's
so
awesome.
Call me when you want me on, and I'll be happy to jump on.
Thank you so much,
Thanks,
brother.
Mike.
Really appreciate you, Michael.
See you later.